Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Humans Vs Manchester at Home with me, Clint Boone. Across this mini-series, I'm going to be talking to some inspirational Mancunians as we continue to celebrate the spirit of our city whilst we're in lockdown. This week I'm joined by frontman of Manchester band Twisted Wheel, Johnny Brown. Johnny talks about getting to go on tour with his childhood heroes.
We'd all looked up to Oasis since the day we'd heard him, so to actually be on tour with them was, you know, it was surreal.
And he describes how the rock and roll lifestyle led to him struggling with addiction.
I lost who I was, and it was sad. It was really sad, really, but it was tough.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome to Humans of Excess Manchester at Home. A young chap I first stumbled across about 15 years ago, I think it was. He was in a band called The Children. He was the guitarist. They were a brilliant band. And at the time, they appealed to me. They're very reminiscent of the early In Spirals, I thought. Since then, he's gone on to make a name for himself as a frontman of Twisted Wheel. It is Johnny Brown. Welcome to Humans of Excess Manchester, Johnny. How are you keeping?
I'm very well, cheers, mate. As good as you can be in the situation.
I spoke to you on the phone a couple of days ago and you were saying that how strange it's because you're pretty much living on your own at the moment, aren't you? And your dad's down the road with the rest of the family and all that business. So are you keeping your mind in order?
I've had a few days where I've been a bit down. So I lost all motivation. But you've got to man up and be tough, aren't you? And sort of the best thing to do is get up early. You can go back to bed if you're tired, but get up, get a shower. Get some music playing, have a coffee, do a bit of tidying up and just get yourself moving early in the morning and you sort of set yourself up for the day then. Well, the days when I've sort of just stayed in bed and thought I've got nothing to get up for, that's when I've started getting a bit down and negative. So just been getting up early and getting on with stuff.
Yeah, I'm fortunate. I live obviously with my wife and three kids and a bunch of animals, so I've got to get up early and get the machine moving, the boom machine. Hopefully we'll get back to some sort of normality soon, Johnny. So keep your pecker up in there. Let's get started with the chat for proper. Johnny, I want to talk about you growing up. You were born in the late 80s, was it, and grew up in Oldham?
Yeah, I was born in 1986 at St Mary's Hospital. Is it on Oxford Road, St Mary's? I can't remember. Right. It's down that way.
Yeah.
I grew up in Oldham, so I've lived all over, most part in Saddleworth. I lived in quite a few places around Saddleworth, for Upper Mill, Delph, Greenfield, and I've just always been into music, and there's a few sort of lads knocking around who I used to chill out with, you know, mess around as kids, and eventually we started a group. I was just sort of always into music, really. That's what I used to do as a kid. It was just try and make a band. I spent all my time at school just trying to form a band, but just sort of failing, really, not getting the right people, or, you know, it wasn't the right time, but eventually I got there. So
what were you listening to music wise what was the first music that inspired you?
The first music was probably Led Zeppelin. Like my dad used to have the video, Madison Square Gardens. The Song Remains the Same, I think it was called. So I used to watch that as a kid. The Beatles, Bob Marley, Kinks, and then obviously like Oasis come out, and that sort of opened, that got me into all the Manchester music and stuff like that. So they Oasis got big when I was about 10, 11. So it was a good time, really, because I was just sort of really getting into music, and then this band came about that sort of, you know, really connected with the, not just the sort of teenagers and that, but, you know, the kids, all the kids at school was into it. And, you know, the girls liked Spice Girls and the boys liked Oasis or Blur, It was like quite a big a big thing, man.
I can remember that time. I can remember that time totally because I've got a daughter that's a little bit younger than you, but she was banging to the Spice Girls when Oasis were first, first big on the scene. The Spice Girls were in parallel with it, weren't they, for a little while?
Yeah. It was a crazy time actually, but I was just into music and I always tried to form a band, which it did take a while really to find people who were dedicated, but got there in the end.
Yeah, and was that the Children? And so when I first met you, had the Children. Was that your first band?
That was my first proper band. So I'd left secondary school. Like I said, I'd failed at sort of getting a group together there. But I went to do a music course in Ashton, Tameside College. And when I started there, I met a load of lads who was in the year above me. They was all like into the same sort of music. They got me into a lot of stuff. That's when I sort of discovered Bob Dylan and like more sort of 60s garage and stuff. They got me into loads of music, them guys. But they sort of took me under the wing because I was like them, but I was in the year below. So I had a new gang to hang around with and share music with and stuff like that. They had a band, one of the lads had a band. He said, "Do you want to come and practice with us?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." But I said, "I don't have my guitar today." And he said, "Oh no, we've got guitarists. You'd be on the bass." So I said, "I don't have a bass." So we robbed the college bass when the teachers had managed to get it back in the morning. We used to do that for about 4 months, and I started jamming with them. And then as sort of time went on, the guitarist left, and I went on to guitar. Then and I started writing and sort of made a name for ourselves. We did quite well at the time. We were selling out Academy 3 and. Yeah, we were building a good following up in Manchester.
I remember it well because that was to me it felt like another Arctic Monkeys story was about to happen, but right on our doorstep. The groundswell of love that you had for the band, the Children, back then.
Yeah.
And I remember the time when I was interviewing Paul Weller. I think it must have been probably 2005 down at the arena, and we're backstage and as part of the interview, I played him an unsigned band called the Children. I played in this CD. As part of the interview to see what he thought, just to get a bit of support for like this local band, and he immediately loved it, as you know. And I got a drunken call from him that night, and Craddock saying, "Fucking Ben, the fucking Children, man, we've got to fucking work with them."
Yeah,
and you did, didn't you? Within days, I think you were down at Black Barn, weren't you, doing something with them?
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I was very thankful for that, mate, because they did get in touch that night, and it was within a month, it was down at Weller's studio recording the last EP that we made, which was surreal, really. That was like the first, one of the first sort of big things that happened to me, really, musically. Down to you, Clint, so cheers for that. But we managed to do a few gigs with him, actually, as well. I think we did the Apollo.
Yeah.
Can't remember where else. But so he was a fan of that band, Weller, and, he gave us a lot of support.
And it seemed like not long after that, you're off to do your first album over in, it's a couple of years after, but you recorded your first album out in LA, weren't you, with Dave Sardi?
Yeah, that was with Twisted Wheel. We signed with Columbia.
Yeah,
I think after six months of gigging, we'd had about five record deals offered to us, so it was in a good position. We went with Columbia in the end. They wrote down a load of producers and studios and said, like, "These are all the people we spoke to who would work with you," and like we knew a few of them, and there was like Studio Wales, a few in Scotland and so on. Then it was just like Dave Sardi, who we'd not actually heard of at the time, even though he's massive. It was Dave Sardi and the studio was in Hollywood, LA. And we just was like, "We'll go there." we didn't know nothing about him, but we wanted to go to LA. So
amazing.
So
one minute you're in Oldham in that very, I say working class, quite an idyllic part of the world, that Saddleworth area, beautiful, but still very much part of the Oldham sort of mindset. Next thing you're in LA, Sunset Strip. How did you find all that?
Absolutely, yeah, culture shock. Like, I'd never been to the States before, so it was massive. But obviously, because we're with Columbia, we were getting looked after proper style. So we got picked up from the airport in like a Hummer. It was all like rock star stuff, we got took to the hotel, we put our bags in, and then our manager's wife, who was actually from LA, she took us straight to the Rainbow Bar, which is where Lemmy used to go every day and play Space Invaders, one of those tables that had the computer games in them. So we was hoping to see Lemmy. She was sort of telling us that's his regular, and we got there and he wasn't there, so he was a bit disappointed. But Robbie Williams was there, so he said a lot.
He's a good lad, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a nice guy, you know. It was funny when he was the first guy we saw when we walked in, and it was just like we didn't know what to do at first. We was like sort of in hysterics, but we got chatting with him. He was a nice guy. Yeah. So unfortunately, we didn't see Lemmy, but yeah, we spent 6 weeks in LA, literally in Hollywood. We'd get out of bed, we'd have a big American breakfast in the hotel, and we'd just like swan up the road, literally like 10 minutes up the road. It was all beautiful villas. And Sardi's studio was up there. It had like swimming pools and loads of instruments. He had more keyboards and organs than I've ever seen in my life, mate. There was hundreds of keyboards and stuff. And it was just a beautiful place to record. Really, really, really good.
That must be one of the highlights of your life, that, I'm guessing, that first trip out to LA.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. We had the weekends off. So we got to, we made some friends. You've got to get friends with the locals in LA, because it's such a big place and everything's so spaced out. You can't just sort of like swan out and go around the corner, and do you know what I mean? You've got to know what's going on and stuff like that. So we got some friends and they showed us the ropes, and it was a really good time of my life, definitely.
And at what point did the Gallaghers start there hovering about? Because both Noel and Liam have got a lot of love for what you've done over the years, haven't they? You're still working with Liam, aren't you, until recently. When did that start? Yeah. When did the Gallaghers first get in touch? Was that through Weller?
No, it wasn't actually. We did. Do you remember Channel M?
Yeah.
We did the Channel M thing with you.
It's
still on YouTube. Twisted Wheel Channel M, which was Channel Manchester, wasn't it?
I remember this because Noel saw it, didn't he? And made the call.
Yeah, Noel saw it and he made the call. And then his manager came up to see us, Marcus Russell.
Yeah,
in a gig, I think it was played in Newcastle or somewhere northeast, and he came to a few more gigs, and we got chatting, really got on. So we went with Marcus Ignition. He became our manager, yeah. And then obviously we was in contact with Noel then. So Noel asked us to do the Oasis tour, which was like Birmingham, Sheffield, and Wembley. And then through that, we got like a European tour with Oasis. And as well as that, we did Heaton Park, which was massive. So we got some massive gigs out of that. That was a massive break for the band. I know, obviously, to be touring with, like, you know, with childhood heroes, if you know what I mean. We'd all looked up to Oasis since the day we'd heard them. So to actually be on tour with them was, you know, it was surreal.
Yeah. You talked about some massive high points there. I know you've had a lot of low points over the years as well, personally and as a band. You know, there's been times when you've gone off the scene for quite a while. What have been the biggest highs and the deepest lows you've experienced, Johnny?
I'd say one of the highs that I had was Paul Weller asked me to, we'd done a load of gigs with Weller with the Twisted Wheels. So I started the new band and got back in touch with him. He was stuff as well. So we got on tour with him, and then he was on stage to play That's Entertainment at Silverstone Racetrack. Yeah. So I went on stage and Liam was there. Liam came down to watch. So it was like Liam Gallagher was on stage watching, and I was on stage with Craddock and Weller and Weller's band. And we sung That's Entertainment to about 5,000 people. So that obviously was, for any artist to do that, is massive, isn't it? You know, even an artist miles bigger than me is, you know, that'd definitely be something they're going to remember. So that was one of the, you know, highlights. Obviously doing Heaton Park, you know, I was having experiences like that, but not long after that, I think the lifestyle of being in the band and the party sort of aspect of it had really sort of taken hold of me, and it was just everyone sort of looks at me as like the party host, you know, what's going on tonight? Let's go to Johnny's flat, you know. So it was just non-stop, really, and that led me into some dark places, and I became dependent on drugs and alcohol. And you know, everyone knows, you know, when you get dependent on them, when you get bad on hard drugs and stuff, like, you know, things don't go well. Yeah, you don't do them stuff. You don't do stuff like that. Your life gets better, do you? It gets worse. So that actually led me to. I ended up at one point. I was sold all my guitars, other than one. I lost my house that I bought through debt, and I basically gave music up. I stopped. I was barely even listening to music at one point. I just sort of I lost who I was, and it was sad. It was really sad, really. But it was tough. But luckily, I've got good people around me still. I've got a good dad, you know, he's stuck by me. you know, just about, you know, I saw the light and I've got back into doing music again. And, yeah. you know, I appreciate everything that comes to me now. I don't take anything for granted. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I'll never go back to the places where I was, you know.
Yeah.
At some points being homeless. It wasn't good and it was sad. You know, it's sad to have come from, you know, doing so well for quite a few years. So that was, you know, it was a shame. So I'm really, you know, honoured to be back and be healthy and, you know, be up for it again.
We should give a big shout out to your dad, Kevy. He's a character. I think without him, you probably wouldn't have done what you've done because he stood by you pretty much right through it, like he's saying. I know he's had his own, he's had some personal tragedies in his life as well. And you lost your mum recently. You've had some pretty dark stuff going on around you both and around you all, but it's brilliant to have you back. And this new album is absolutely just stunning, John. It's absolutely a masterpiece. It's just, it's. I know you've made it yourselves, you've funded it yourselves, you've released it yourselves, you've got no record companies helping you particularly at the moment, I don't think.
No.
And when you listen to it, it's like it's pure rock and roll, man. It's just like there's just none of that bullshit that goes with most of what we're used to in the industry these days. There's none of that in there, is there?
No. No, I think it's a modern day guitar record. So it's not stuck to one style because I think in this day now, people, you know, back in the old days, you had like scenes, so you had mod scenes and you had the punk scene, and generally people in those scenes listen to that kind of music. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Whereas now everyone's got quite a diverse music collection. Do you know, I've got hip-hop music to punk music to rock and roll to Northern Soul. So people have a more sort of diverse music taste. So I thought this record should sort of cover a few styles. So I managed to pull that off. We managed to pull that off without, you know, making it sound too bonkers. So there's a lot of different styles in there. But it was just honest. It's just an honest record. We wrote the songs. The songs are from the heart. The, you know, they start off as acoustic tracks mainly, and we've put them together. We all share the love for rock and roll and the same groups and stuff like that. And we you know, we did it in a studio in Manchester, Cheetah Mill, Vibe Studios. So it was made in a local studio with a local producer, Dean Glover. He's also a great guy. It's just honest. That's all I can say. We, you know, we're not trying to be anything that we're not. We're just putting music. We're putting out music that we love. We like listening to it.
Yeah, I think it's at the end of the day. For people that have heard the first two albums, it's like it is. There's some pretty big shifts in direction on a couple of tracks. I mean, I Am Immune is probably a classic Twisted Wheel, like people would have expected on the third album. But to me, you mentioned Lemmy. It's got Motörhead in there. It's got the Ramones in there. It's got the Damned in. This is just in that one track and Oasis, all rolled into I Am Immune. So you get that.
Yeah,
this is classic Twisted Wheel album 3. But then you go on to a track like DNA, that's a track that you wrote about your mum. When I first heard that on the radio, I thought, I've never heard an indie record, and it's probably not even deliberate, but it sort of crosses over beautifully with LA rock, like Guns N' Roses and Lynyrd Skynyrd and Neil Young. Do you know what I mean? That's what I get when I listen to DNA. It's a great British indie band, but it's got this other thing that I've never heard an indie band do, that rock crossover like that.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant, mate. That's just what I want. That's just what we want to hear when people listen to that track. It's like, yeah, Neil Young, like Lynyrd Skynyrd. I mean, because I grew up loving, that was another band that like I got into as a kid, Lynyrd Skynyrd and Neil Young. My dad was always playing. A lot of indie bands seem to sort of shy away from the guitar solo. And I just wanted to make a track that had a big guitar solo in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, Ben's a great guitarist, so he give him the chance to show off his skills, and but then obviously like there's the emotional part of the song, which is, you know, the main bit and the lyrics, I think we pulled it off that track. We got everything into it we wanted to get in. We wanted the emotion and the feeling, but also we sort of wanted that energy and sort of the positive side of it. So it all came out how we wanted it to, that song.
Yeah. And the track Ghost Man, that's a fascinating one as well, because it's based on a fictional character, isn't it? It's just he's a bad guy, isn't he, that you've written a song about. Totally fiction. It's not you singing about yourself, is it?
No. it's loosely based on a true story, but I've added things. So, all fictional stories come from some sort of truth, I guess. I like the sounds in that song. I like we sort of wanted a bit of a surf, sort of maybe a bit of a 50s guitar sound and a bit of surf rock.
Yeah, definitely got a 50s vibe to it. The last track I want to talk about is Satisfying the Ritual, the title track from the album. Again, that's something that I don't think anybody expected Twisted Wheel to be making a record like that in the near future, because that, to me, hints at whatever the fourth album is going to be, it's going to be proper out there based on something like Satisfying the Ritual.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's what we wanted to get. I love hip-hop music. I love hip-hop music because I see it as it's kind of like punk. It's anti-establishment. It's political in some of it's political. You can get your point across. It's sort of a do what you want. There's not many rules. You can sample what you want from any kind of music, and I just love that freedom that you can have in hip hop. So to introduce hip hop to Twisted Wheel is a big thing, and it's opened the doors, like you say, for the next album. Now, I think that track Satisfying the Ritual has been accepted by the fans and by the people who've listened to it. Yeah. So it's opened the door. It's opened the doors for us to experiment in that kind of music, which I'm well up for, because I don't just want to stay doing the same genre. I want to progress. Yeah. And another thing was I'd stopped writing when I'd lost my house, and I was down and out and everything was bad. I stopped writing, and I tried writing again when I sorted myself out, and I was struggling. So I started writing some rap, sort of. I was listening to hip hop beats and writing rap music, and it got me writing again. I tried writing a rap, and that's what sort of set me off to writing poems and being lyrical again. So I'll forever love hip hop for that.
I'm guessing, Johnny, that right musically, I bet you've never felt as liberated in the 15 years that you've been making music.
No, definitely. Like I said before, I'm very grateful for everything now. I'm grateful for being able to play guitar. I'm grateful for having a good band around me. I'm grateful for having respect in the industry and, having people, back us up. The fact that I'm writing again, that's channeling all sorts for me. It's getting stuff out of my head and making me more positive. We're picking up new fans, which it's not just like we've come back and we're playing to the old crowd. We've got loads of new fans on board now, and they're all, There's older people and younger people. It's a good sort of range of ages who are into us. But to be back and to be appreciated and be picking up new people, be selling out gigs, being on tour with Liam Gallagher, Liam giving us an opportunity again to play at, play to crowds like that, arena-sized crowds.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't complain. Obviously, I want the band to be more successful. I'm not just content. I want to be doing more. Like, you've got to be like that. But I am very happy for what I've got.
Yeah.
And, I appreciate it very much.
What's the first thing you're going to do when the lockdown finishes?
I'm going to go to the pub, mate, and have 20 pints of beer. I'm going to have about 5 pints of Guinness, and I'm going to get on the bitter, and then the scotch or the Jamesons, and then I'm going to decide what I'm going to do. I'd like to say I'm going to book an holiday, but everyone's skin, it's tough, this surviving with no income and stuff. So
it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Every aspect of everybody's life is affected, but as musicians and DJs, it's going to be interesting for us to see how this all affects our reality, our career. I mean, I can't imagine a Twisted Wheel gig with social distancing, can you? Because everybody just piles on top of each other, don't they?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there'd be it'd probably be frowned upon having a Twisted Wheel gig pretty soon. I really hope that things go back to normal, as soon as possible, like everyone does. And I know safety's got to come first. I know all that. But a lot of people live their life by going to gigs.
Absolutely.
They work all week. Yeah. And they save up, and then they plan what they're going to go and see with the partner or the friends, and that's what they look forward to. Mm. They might buy the new clothes to go out for that. It's just part. It's part of life. It's so ingrained into our culture.
Yeah.
That I think to have it taken away is going to cause. It's going to cause riots, I'm sure, at some point. So we need to find a way. We need to find a way, and it's all good having this online stuff. And being able to, use Zoom and do gigs on, Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, which is great. And it's great to see so many artists, you know, out doing stuff like that and earning money for charity and whatnot. But, you know, you can't be the real thing, can you? So,
well, fingers crossed, yeah. Back to some sort of normality sooner or later. Let's talk about the Manchester spirit generally. I mean, even though you're from, like I am, I'm from Oldham as well, but very much consider myself part of the Manc thing. What is it about the Mancunian spirit that makes us not better than anybody else, different than anybody else?
I think that there's a lot of people in Manchester, like I said before, there's a lot of different genres and people accept people. I think Tony Wilson said once, did he say Manchester kids have the best record collections? So there's a lot of people with you know, good taste in music, which I think, you know, plays a big part into it. Obviously the history, and you know, you've got bands, I mean, 10cc from Stockport, and you know, the Hollies, the Buzzcocks. There's always been great bands come from Manchester. And then I think the fact that it rains all the time plays a big part in it. You know, it is quite miserable, the weather. So, you know, what else are you going to do when it's raining? If, you know, you've got a band, you can stay in the practice room, can't you?
And write songs about being miserable.
Write songs about being miserable or, you know, about the weather, which I find a lot of Manchester bands do sing about the weather, definitely. You know, through the history that's gone before us, like, you know, from the Hacienda and all the stuff when you was about and stuff like that. There's so many interesting bands to look back on and be inspired by. And I just think there's a cool mentality in Manchester. You know, like I said, people are just open at stuff, and you know, generally quite friendly people. So I just think there's just a lot of creative juices flowing.
Is that Joe Strummer on the wall behind you, Johnny?
Oh, can you see that? Yeah, yeah. It's Joe Strummer. Yeah,
it took me a while to figure out who it was. I thought it's not Kev, and then Joe Strummer, isn't it, looking down on you.
Yeah, that's Joe. Stephen Lynn did that. He did our artwork for the album. Right. So I've got a few of his actually. Good old job.
I've got Elvis on my wall. This is my studio at home, so I've got Elvis. And the story
brilliant.
Is that when I was in the Clint Boone Experience, on my rider for every gig, I'd have like a bottle of cheap Merle or whatever, some Red Stripe. But I'd always set a picture of Elvis in my dressing room. And I did a gig in Brighton, and they came in with that. This massive picture of Elvis was on the wall for me. So it's followed me around ever since, that fella.
You've kept it since, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, totally, yeah. So, Johnny, before we get off, I've got to ask you a couple of questions. The first one being, who are your favourite humans of Manchester, past or present?
My first one is Miss Carter, who was my English teacher at school. And I was in the bottom set. I'd not done very well in the previous years. And she was trying to sort of get me going. And she asked what I was into, and I said music. So she got me into writing poems, which then led on to me being able to write songs. Amazing. So I'll always be thankful to Miss Carter for getting me writing.
Have you ever had a chance to thank her for that?
I haven't, no. I've always sort of thought, you know, I'd love to bump into her in a shop or something, you know, at some point. I've asked people, you know, who went to the same school, do you know Miss Carter? But no one seems to know her, so she must have left, you know.
You'll find her.
Years back. Yeah, we'll track her down. Miss Carter, yeah, the English teacher. I've got to say, my dad, he's been there supporting me through music from day one in the band, in the children and stuff like that. You know, he's helped out managing a few times when we've had no manager. He's, you know, he's let me off the hook with a million and one things I won't go into. but he's, you know, he's always been supportive, and, you know, he's clever as well. He's taught me a lot. He's quite a smart guy. So, you know, I look up to him very much, my dad. I love him a lot.
Yeah.
I couldn't not mention him in top three humans. And number three, I'm going to say Liam Gallagher, because for Liam to have gone out his way to put us, you know, to get us on, I mean, he actually fought to get us on the Lancashire Cricket Ground gig. I think the promoters wanted another band on, and Liam said, no, I want Twisted Wheel on. I'm not budging Twisted Wheel going on. So he actually fought to have us on there, which means a lot. But, you know, obviously we did the Oasis gigs years ago, but, you know, that was 10 years ago. So for 10 years later, for him to still, you know, give us an hand and invite us on tour around Europe, you know, just to acknowledge us and give us that support, really shows what a decent guy he is. And at this moment in time, you know, I've really got to appreciate every bit of help I get. And, you know, for someone of his status to have give us a lot of love, basically. You know, I really appreciate that. So Liam, number three.
Good choices. Before we go, Johnny, describe Manchester in three words.
Passionate, crazy, poetic.
Beautiful. Johnny Brown, thank you for being a human of Excess Manchester.
No, thanks for having us.
There you go, that was Johnny Brown. Next time, I'm joined by author Emma Jane Unsworth, currently residing in Brighton, but having been born and raised in Manchester, very much a human of Excess Manchester. Don't forget to follow us on social media and subscribe to Humans of Excess Manchester. Rate us, feel free to leave us a review. We always like to get your feedback. Stay safe, look after each other, Manchester. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.